Hello and welcome to Batflips and Nerds Season Preview Podcast, the baseball podcast with a British twist. You can find us on @Batflips_Nerds on Twitter and on Facebook at facebook.com/Batflips and Nerds. I'm your host, Tom Pringle. As you may have heard in our recent episodes, there are plenty of other podcasts out there already producing their season previews. They'll probably have more in-depth and more analysis, but here at Batflips and Nerds, we tried to decide to do something a little different, inviting British fans of teams to come onto the podcast and talk about their team. We've got no clever order for this, it's who's available at the time. So without further delay, joining me to talk all about the Milwaukee Brewers is Craig Herring. How are you, Craig?
Hi, Tommy. I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. Did I say it right? Herring?
Yeah, Herring. That's exactly right, yeah.
Fantastic. We also need to discuss how to pronounce Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, we'll go with Milwaukee, I think.
Yeah, I think we'll stick to the American way. Okay, and so it is believed that the Brewers have baseball's greatest alternate logo. Discuss.
Unquestionable. It's a thing.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
It's a thing of beauty.
I don't understand why they ever changed it.
No, I don't understand either. I mean, the era of Barley is a perfectly functionary logo. It's fine, but that baseball glove is just a thing of joy. It's, and loads of people don't even see the M and the B in it, and
yeah,
it out to them. Yeah, it's got to be one of the best logos in all sport.
I think the key point there is what you said about the Barley logo. It's fine. It is literally that, just fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing special about it. There's nothing that really grabs your attention. And the M and the B, yeah, it's almost like the Expos logo, isn't it? It took me a while to finally see the Expos logo.
Yeah, that's another great example of one, actually. Yeah, lovely piece of design.
I do like that. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
Cool then. So we'll run straight into it if you're happy then. So what made you pick the Brewers?
Well, yeah, just in terms of what made me pick baseball as well, I suppose, first of all, because, you know, I missed baseball for far, far too long. And I sort of think I should have been a baseball fan, and I never was. And I loved peanuts growing up, and especially loved all the baseball. And you know, I'm somebody who likes, similar to the guy that was talking about Nationals, actually was an English teacher. My background's in literature as well. I like stories and narratives in my sports, and I just never got or appreciated how fundamental it was to baseball. I think I always kind of thought it was a bit of a stats game only, and I didn't realize there was something much more, you know, romantic about the game as well. So I was a massive NFL fan and have been since I was about 8 or 9 years old, so well over 30 years. And I've gone through the good and the bad and the joy and the pain of being a 49ers fan. Mm-hmm. And so when I've been out to the US, I've seen, you know, NFL games, but I've never really been out. The one time I was out there in the baseball season, I was in Miami once with my wife, and we were going to go and watch the Florida Marlins as they were at the time, and the Joe Robbie Stadium. But there was a tropical storm, and we decided that we weren't going to go out driving in that. It was just a bit crazy. So. It just felt like it eluded me for a long time. And I think the thing that made the difference was social media and just kind of beat writers in American football and games like that drifting into my timeline and starting to talk about baseball. It just piqued my curiosity and I started to look around. And I've got a really good friend, Tony, who's a lifelong San Diego Padres fan. Seem to be lots of Padres fans on the podcast and second teams. They seem to be a bit of a UK favourite, but he's been a fan and going out there for, I think, you know, his entire life. He's got family out there. And I asked him about it because I just kind of thought, you know, how I want to get into this. I want to know more about it. So he told me to find a team, you know, follow them, read around baseball. So I read lots of different books and lots of different perspectives and just kind of got really suckered in. And I kind of gravitate. I find 49ers are probably a bit of an exception in terms of sports teams I tend to gravitate to. I like kind of small towns and community clubs and perennial underdogs. I'm still sulking about what happened to Southampton on Sunday. That's my football team. And the Brewers are clearly not a fastball to glory, I think it's fair to say. For those that don't know, we've had one World Series appearance ever back in 1982, and we lost in the National League Championship game back in 2011. That was our last shot at glory, really. Both times we lost to the Cardinals. I kind of love the team and I love the logo and, you know, my background's in branding and communication. So there's probably a part of that in there as well. And all the great stuff around what they do at Miller Park with Bernie Brewer and his slide and Clement's famous racing sausages and just the whole theatre of it all. It's kind of like watching It's a Knockout when I was a kid, watching these five ridiculous sausages running around at the bottom of the sixth. And just the sort of cumulative effect of all of those things. And I just kind of really suckered me in, and I just just kind of got very quickly very addicted to the Brewers and just found myself falling in love with them.
I think it's great that you mentioned the fact, the stories and the narrative and the romantic nature of the game. It's something that definitely drew me in, and being a Test cricket fan in the past.
Exactly the same, Tom, yeah. Exactly.
I always find that the Test cricket just has that about it, and the writing for cricket is just fantastic.
Agreed.
And maybe because it's just that gentle ebb and flow of the game rather than the smash and grab of basketball or American football.
Yeah.
And I think it's just beautiful to watch. It's such a good game.
I completely agree with you, and I just kicked myself that I didn't get it earlier, really, because yeah. I think Test cricket is a really nice analogy. And you read, there's so many great books out there, but I mean, recently I was reading the John Feinstein one, and I don't know if you've read that.
I haven't, no.
Oh, it's fantastic, but it's just all about AAA players and, you know, their one shot at the big time and how they, you know, the sacrifices they make for their lives and their families, and they maybe get call up for one game because of an injury or whatever, and the glory of it and what it means to the team down there, and you know, there's just kind of romance about it. It's really beautiful. It's really well worth reading.
Yeah, we'll have to look out for that. I don't know if you recommend it to
us
today, actually.
Life in the Minor Leagues or something like that. It's fantastic. It's a great read.
Okay, yeah, we'll have to push that out. There are still plans for a books episode of Batflips and Nerds, but it was meant to be in the off season, but we just haven't had the chance.
Yeah, do it before I go on holiday in the summer, please. That'd be perfect.
I really doubt it's going to be mid season. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Okay then. So I'm guessing, like myself, as you said, you kicked yourself for not getting into it earlier. But I think the big turning point for myself and other UK fans has been MLB TV. So are you a subscriber?
I am now, yeah. I mean, to start with, last year was the first year that I subscribed. So before that, I was watching, the free game of the day or the BT Sport coverage. And it was good, but it's kind of frustrating as well because it just goes in, you know, I wish I'd seen more of the kind of UK coverage in the, I think it was in the 90s when it was on Five. I just somehow missed it, and so you kind of parachuted it in with and kind of work it all out the hard way. And I've just found, yeah, social media plugged a lot of the gaps for me, and just getting to know people that could ask questions to and not feel so dumb. And yeah, social media kind of transformed it for me. It's just so much easier to get involved and to understand it all. But now, yeah, having MLB TV, it's a fantastic app. I watch it on my iPad, I watch it on the TV, get it through the Amazon Fire as well. So it's lots of scope to watch it moving forward, which is great.
Yeah, and that's a great thing. You can obviously watch it on the move as well.
Yeah.
I think the thing, I mentioned it on a previous podcast as well, but if people haven't heard it, the main thing for me was getting the Watching Baseball Smarter book by the, it's the foul ball guy who goes around collecting so many foul balls, Zach Hempel.
That's right. I've got that.
Yeah, that's
I read that. I thought it was really useful.
And it was so good to just read and get all the basics, but also out of the park baseball, just playing that and just reading up all the acronyms, reading up about the stats. And I'm the sort of person that I don't, if I get into something, I get into it properly. I don't sort of half-ass it. I want to go for it and really get into it.
Yeah.
And Out of the Park really did that for me. It sorted me out to understand the game fully. We'll go back to your Brewers then. So what happened last season?
What happened last season in a word was inconsistency, I think. Which I think, you know, is utterly consistent with what we've been going through, which is a major rebuild. So I think we were 68 and 94 in 2015, 73 and 89 in 2016. So there was improvement, and occasionally we flashed and we were great. You know, we matched the Cubs on several occasions. We had a better home record, I think, than the Cardinals and the Pirates. But on the road, we looked really bad. We were, I think, 32 and 49 on the road. Mm. So that was a bit of a problem. But it was a season of peaks and troughs. One of the things that will I suppose go down in baseball history a bit is we beat the Braves at Miller Park 11-3 in August, and we were one of the only teams to score in every innings batted. I think the 19th in baseball history.
Yeah.
So a pretty rare feat of batting is actually more rare than a perfect game pitched, actually. And that was when Ryan Braun was out as well. So when we flashed, but Braun hit 30 home runs. Chris Carter, obviously not there anymore, but he got 40. But they got them in August and September and April. And in the middle, there was this kind of dearth of batting. We didn't really do very much at all. Real problem with strikeouts. And people like Keon Broxton had a massive problem with strikeouts. Santana as well. And Chris Carter as well, actually. Though he hit 40 home runs, he had 30% strikeouts. So, you know, some big problems there with the batting. And pitching, kind of similar, really. Highs and lows. Junior Guerra was absolutely amazing. And looked really, really good. But we had really high hopes for Taylor Youngman, who'd been great the year before. But he was sent down to AAA fairly swiftly with, I think, 7.76 ERA. And it went worse, apparently, down there when he was at the Sky Sox. So, yeah. And, you know, the other pitchers blew hot and cold, really. Zach Davies and Jimmy Nelson were very much either great or awful. And I think Jeffress and Thornburg were quite good, but they've been traded. There's been a lot of trading in the postseason. And so kind of up and down, really, a mixture of potentially exciting things. When we blew hot, we blew very hot, but just a real lack of consistency.
Yeah, I think you've pretty much hit the nail on the head on all the points, to be honest. I think the great shining star for your team was probably the stolen bases.
I didn't mention Jonathan Villar, did I? You're absolutely right. Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, he came in and just looked absolutely brilliant. And I think he was the MVP of fantasy, wasn't he?
He ended up being pretty impressive, definitely. So you mentioned the fact the starting rotation were not so good, and Matt Garza, you know, really needs to take a hit on that, considering the amount of money he's drawing in. I seem to remember reading the fact that Ryan Braun as well, his home runs all seem to come at the end of the season.
Yeah.
To really knock up his total.
I think he got 16 of his 13 August and September, something like that. So hopefully that's a nice point to start from rather than a point of concern. But he's still the face of the franchise, and thank goodness he's still there.
Yeah. Moving on to this season then, I mean, you've already mentioned the fact you're going through a huge rebuild. I looked at the payroll and the fact that you're bottom out of all of MLB for the payroll, but your farm system's up high at 6, according to Keith Law.
Okay.
So at least there's a strong future. Yeah. So what was your thoughts for this year then?
I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, hopefully we'll get more of the same, but a little bit better. We'll see. You know, we've lost a lot, I know. We lost LaCroix, we lost Maldonado, Will Smith. Obviously, we talked about Chris Carter as well. So lots gone. But I do think there's quite a lot to feel good about still. VR, I think, is going to be exciting again, if not better still. We've got Eric Thames, and who knows what that will mean. Certainly, you know.
Literally no one knows.
No one knows, literally. He could be a superstar. And it's certainly going to be exciting to see. I mean, he dominated Korean baseball, but what does that mean? I don't know. I'm just very excited to know. You know, some of the players, again, who came good towards the end of the season will hopefully stay that way. Keon Broxton wasn't so good at the start of the season. Real problem with strikeouts. But he looked really good and really sharp in the field towards the end of the season. Dominic Santana should be fit. And then we've got Orlando Arcia, and he's very exciting. I mean, I think looking at how he links up on the double plays with VR, because VR's going to second base and he'll be at shortstop, I think that could be really exciting. It could be very exciting to watch in the field. I mean, defense was a problem last year. So I do think it will be massively improved this year.
Hunter Harris
at 76 wins and effectively Wild down at 68. But I'm a little bit more optimistic than that. Of course, the one problem is that you know, the National League Central is just is a bit of a stinky league to be in, really, because you can guarantee that two of the three that are the Cubs, the Cardinals, and the Pirates are going to play well at some in any given season, I think. I don't know. I just think McCutcheon might have a good year for the Pirates next year. That might make a difference. And, you know, we do well against the Cubs, but they're just, you know, you can't really see past them. They just look irresistible, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, people will hear it later on tonight, maybe, or maybe even tomorrow. But I spoke with Jasmine on the last podcast, and she's fairly confident that the Cubs won't win it. She said she made the point of the fact it's difficult to go do it two times on the bounce, but also that everyone else will be fighting them at every single opportunity. So I think there's going to be more drive. And I tend to agree with that. I'm not quite sure they're going to do it. And if I could bet it, I would definitely bet the field rather than the Cubs.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you not buying that?
No,
as well,
I can totally see that. No, I mean that's the classic scenario that does happen. You know, you put yourself out there and you just make people just want to beat you that bit harder. So I mean, it will be a big challenge for them. So you know, we occasionally look particularly good against them last year. So you know, it's not a question of fear; it's just a question of depth. And I think with those three teams always doing well in our league, and you know, traditionally either rooted to the bottom or in fourth, it's either the Reds down there as a rule of thumb.
So you've taken on the mayor of Ding Dong City, which is Travis Shaw. I don't know if you know much about him.
Tell me about Travis Shaw.
So Travis Shaw can either be an incredible inspiration and the man that will drive a rally, or he'll just be incredibly frustrating and keep striking out.
Sounds horribly like the Brewers last season to me.
Yeah. So his Pecota's got his true average at 255, and I believe that they say that at replacement player level, true average is 260. So he is just below that replacement level.
Okay.
But he was pretty frustrating last year. It was obviously an improvement on Pablo Sandoval when he came in. But you've got the versatility, the fact that he could play third and first. He's, you know, I think he'll be fine. I think with having a bit more playing time again, I think he'll do fine. He was a 1.5 win player last year, so it wasn't all bad.
Okay.
Okay then. So we've covered what we think for this season then. So who do you think's an outside player who's not being recognised for their talents?
I thought about this, and I think it will be somebody like Hernan Perez, I think, just in terms of a really good utility player. I mean, he's down, he's actually down behind Travis Shaw, I think, on the depth chart, second at third base at the moment. But last year he played seven positions. He only didn't play catcher or pitcher for us, and stuck in 13 home runs and 34 bases. So, you know, he's a great all-rounder that I think sort of, you know, sits under the radar somewhat. But has given a lot in so many disciplines. So someone like that, I think, would spring to mind.
Yeah, it sounds a bit like Brock Holt. Brock Holt did exactly the same. I think he missed out on a few more positions last year, but the year before he did everything apart from catcher and pitcher.
Yeah.
And he ended up going to the All-Star game not last year, the year before. And he was brilliant for us. He was fantastic, and there was a lot of chat of him being traded. But someone like that is just so vital to have on your team.
You just, I mean, it's too long a season not to have someone like that you can depend on.
Yeah, I completely agree. Okay, then. So, what's your bold and wild prediction for this season?
Well, I think based on what Pecota and Effectively Wild said, my bold prediction is we might just have a winning record. I'll take 82-80, but you know, just the winning record will be a glorious thing. Either that or I've got to say Jonathan Villar is going to get 75 stolen bases.
Oh, wow. What did he get last year? Was it 60?
62. Is it 60? It was in the low 60s, I think.
So 75 stolen bases?
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive. I just need to sketch that down. So we can use it. Because I try and do it for all the wild predictions, but that's an impressive one. I still don't think it matches the Jared Weaver prediction of a 3.5 ERA, but it's good. I like it. Okay, then. So on to the silly ones then. On a night out, who's going to get a kebab after the night out?
I guess it's going to be someone like Willie Peralta.
Yeah.
You know, he's carrying a good 250 pounds and he's not the tallest of pitchers. So so I think he could tuck one away. Or someone like Dominic Santana, who's just huge. And could just kind of polish one off in a heartbeat, I think. It's just complete solidity to him. He's massive.
Everyone just picks big guys. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, maybe so, I should have gone for something quirkier. Is that, yeah.
Yeah. So who's gonna claim not to have any cash during the taxi ride home?
Well, there's plenty of players on rookie contracts. So I guess, you know, I think Ryan Braun and Scooter Jeanette are the only remaining offensive starters from 2015. So, you know, there's a lot of people that can plead poverty. I guess if I had to pick anyone, this is just purely personal because he's Crimson Tide and I'm an Auburn fan, so I'm going to go for Jimmy J.
Nelson. Oh, dear. Who was that? Sorry, I missed that. I stepped over you.
Sorry, Jimmy J. Nelson. So he's Crimson Tide. He's a Bama boy and I'm an Auburn fan, so I'll have to go for you. Just out of spite, really.
That's terrible.
That I'm an Auburn fan, or that he's.
Well, the fact that it's got to that level, I'm surprised that it's that deep. See, I straight away would have just said Ryan Braun. The fact that he's picking up almost a third of your payroll for this year, he'd be the sort of guy who would just go, nah.
Well,
and remember, he's the guy that likes to drop people in it as well.
See, I didn't pick Ryan Braun because I picked him for you for the next question about the
group. Oh, okay, fair enough then. So who's staying in? Yeah. What's the Great British Bake Off?
Yeah, I want him to stay at home and stay out of trouble. So. He can stay in and watch people baking cakes for as long as he needs to. And I just don't want him out anywhere with the wrong people. So,
you've done this in a very different fashion. You've done what you really want rather than what you think would happen. So who's your mad Alan Partridge who's likely to drive barefoot to Dundee?
Well, I was looking at Twitter yesterday and I think it might be Brett Phillips. So Brett Phillips has just done a Wayne's World style tribute to the best baseball movies of all time with Josh Hader, with him dressed as Wayne and Josh Hader as Garth. And done a full 5 minute skit on it, and it's actually pretty well done. But he's obviously completely insane. And though I was a bit disappointed that I haven't watched the Benchwarmers, but I wouldn't call it. I'm sure it's not the best baseball movie of all time. Surely,
it's actually not bad. Okay. Do you know what? I got recommended to watch it while I was out in Afghanistan, and I thought this is going to be terrible. And it was actually quite funny. It's worth watching if you can get it.
I'm going to watch it now. You pit it at number one, but I was amazed to see it above Sandlot Kids. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say it'd be number one, but it's still funny. It's well worth a watch.
Yeah.
Okay, then. So can you recommend any Twitter accounts, blogs, beat writers that you enjoy whilst following the team?
There's a few good guys on Twitter. There's obviously the Brewers main Twitter feed, and there's Brewer Nation, Brewers Report, and the Brew Crew Ball. They're all pretty good. And then a couple of good beat writers for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Todd Rosiak and Tom, I think it's Haldricourt. Those are good writers for the Brewers as well. And generally going back to the beauty that is the Milwaukee Brewers logo, I'd recommend someone like Todd Radom, who he's a great follow if you're interested in sports and logos and kits and somebody sort of outside of the Brewers. But they're all pretty good. I mean, it's a small town, it's a community club. There's a general kind of love for the Brewers there. I think it's one of the things I like about it. It has that very much, you know, I think they're by some margin the smallest city in the MLB. It has that kind of small town feel about it all.
Yeah, and if folk have got the Baseball Prospectus Annual and haven't read the Brewers essay to begin the team, it's well worth a read because you get a good history of the Brewers as well. And it is just a fascinating story of what happened with them.
And of course, you know, this is a baseball team in the land of cheese and beer. And, you know, what could be greater for a British fan than a team that's all about cheese and beer? And soft drink.
If they had some chorizo as well, that'd be good.
Well, you've got your five sausages in the Clements Famous Racing Sausages Race.
Very true. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to go there. This sounds better than Boston.
Who doesn't want to see a bratwurst, a Polish sausage, an Italian sausage, a hot dog and a chorizo running around a baseball track? I mean, come on.
Excellent. Well, we'll wrap up there. So thank you all for joining us on this episode of Batflips and Nerds. I'd like to thank Craig for joining me. Craig, where can people find you?
On Twitter, at Craig Hurring. It's HURRING. That's the best place to find me. And you know, if anyone lives, I've been Beckenham, South London kind of way. If anyone's around here that wants to get together and watch some games or something, it'd be great to catch up with some people.
Yeah, I know John's in the process of organising a big meetup at the moment in Manchester prior to opening day. There might be a push for London as well, but my schedule's a little bit ropey around opening day, so I'm not sure I'll be able to do it. But that wouldn't stop any of you guys going for it. So, feel free if you want to do a meetup and we'll retweet it and get others involved if you want to do that. And that goes for everyone out there, to be fair. I've been your host, Tom Pringle, and you can find me on Twitter at Pedroia's Face. That's second baseman for the Boston Red Sox. You can contact the show on Twitter at batflips_nerds, on Facebook, facebook.com/batflipsandnerds. You'll also find details about our blog there. You can email us on batflipsnerds@gmail.com. You can subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher to search for Batflips and Nerds, and please do give us a ratings. It makes it easier for folk to find our podcast. Also, tell your baseball friends about us. Doesn't matter if they aren't British, we do welcome all sorts. Once again, thanks for listening and goodbye.